Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Sports Media, I ain't going to spend too long here in the queue talking my stuff again, man. I know we only got 60 minutes to get into all of this that we got on slate. The cooler is wide open, Sports City, man. Go in there, grab a cold one, whatever you drink, man. I don't care if you need to get champagne or wine or beer or soda or water, whatever's in the cooler. It's all a go. We got 60 minutes to go get in this thing. Welcome to the College Campus Tailgate Show. Like I said, it's counting down. I done took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timer is alive.
What about I be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down. We gon' make this bitch light up. When the sun goes down, I'll make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the ow. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flowing, connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear that they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turned me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't change me. But I wouldn't went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, bitch, is true. All I got is this money.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
The call-in number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. And, I'm feeling some type of way, Sports City, but I'm going to chill out. I'm going to chill out right now. I'm feeling good because I am here with my brother and my co-host as well, calling from the Virginia region of the United States of America, Tommy Beard in the building. Welcome to the tailgate. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm good. And I got that beard on ice. It's waiting to be open. So let's go.
Okay. So, Sports City, I have been advised to chill out today. They told me to chill out, so I get a little bit of the portion of the day off today as we jump into a couple of the topics and get into some of the top 25 and the power conferences as well. And, of course, how our picks settle in and see how we actually do well. I want all of us to do well, but you already know who I want to have a little neck or a hair ahead of the rest of the pile. Tommy, I know you wanted to get some of the topics out first, so I'm going to chill for now. I'm going to eat today. So your first dish here at the tailgate.
Yes. I don't know if a lot of people know about what I was actually reading a story about Les Miles. Nick Saban, but you're a piece of shit. I'm sorry. I have no more respect for you. And this is why. Nick Saban wants to turn around and throw a kid that wants to transfer out Blake because he's not playing, he's not going to play. Aren't you turn around and you make a comment yesterday that you don't know if you would have came home as a kid, if your father would have told your father that, and your father would have told you to leave, you don't know if you'd had a place to live, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, Nick, let's bring back the history. Didn't you quit on LSU and just bounce? Didn't you quit on the Miami Dolphins and just bounce? So how can you be a fucking hypocrite and turn around and talk about a kid when you've done the same damn thing? Then you turn around and you say about how you think it's wrong that Les Miles got fired and you're wrong, that blah, blah. Man, shut the hell up. I'm done with your you have to be in the limelight. And you say this just so your name is relevant. You know what? You quit on the Dolphins. You quit on LSU. So shut the hell up.
Okay, we have the third portion of the show here as well. We have Matt here. Matt, welcome to the tailgate. How are you feeling this morning?
Feeling pretty good, guys. Came off another tennis win. It's a beautiful day in Georgia, and it's nice and a little bit of cool air in the weather.
Okay, well, we do have somebody in queue, but I want you to go first. Being that you are the SEC guy here, your thoughts on the opening comment or dish here at the tailgate about Nick Saban, being mad that his quarterback, Blake, is leaving as a freshman, redshirt freshman.
Well, Nick Saban is a borderline dictator. He's the man in charge down there. He runs the show. I guess Blake pretty much probably got tired of him and wanted out. I know a lot of players can't handle the demands of Nick Saban because he asked quite a bit for his players. So I'm not going to give Nick any credit for showing anger towards that. The kid's allowed to go where he wants to go. So I think Blake made the right decision for himself. So I think Nick should have just kept his mouth shut on that one because he says enough about everything else. So that's what I feel about Nick Saban.
And to add to Nick Saban, if you don't suspend the kid that had a gun, I'm telling you right now, I'm done with this. I'm done with it. It just shows you once again, players that are big name players can do what they want.
Okay, calling out of the Arizona region of the United States, we have Mr. Silver in the building. Welcome to the tailgate. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good. It's a good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. Start this off real quick, talking about Nick Saban, getting into this college football atmosphere. You know, I totally agree with the Hippocratic part that Tommy brings up. The fact that you yourself and Nick Saban as a head coach has walked away from two separate teams on the two highest levels of football, that being college football and that Division One and the NFL. So the Hippocratic part, I understand. You know, when I hear some of these Saban defenders say the things that they're saying, that he hasn't, you know, since he's come to Alabama, he's been nothing but Crimson Tide. He's never even looked at offers from other places, and he's been nothing short of, you know, the guy that's prided himself on staying. But it's easy to stay when you're winning. It's easy to stay when championship after championship keeps rolling in because you're getting the highest recruit after highest recruit. So to that, I say, you know, I don't think, you know, we would see this if Alabama was losing when he first got there. He might not even be here. So I think standing on a podium or sitting at a podium and I would say berating a student who has a problem with either your philosophy or the way you're coaching and has the opportunity, being a five-star quarterback recruit, has the opportunity to go play for someone else, you know, and it's not as if, and let's not get this, you know, twisted here. It's not as if this kid can do what Nick Saban can do or any other head coach in the NCAA can do. He can't leave, go to any school he wants, and automatically play like one of these coaches could leave tomorrow and be coaching at another school within 2 to 3 weeks.
That's you're wrong, though. He can't because he's already transferred out somewhere. If he transfers out this season, he's eligible next year.
That's what I'm saying. He can't go out and just go find another team and continue his year. So he's got to sit out the rest of this year, as where a head coach can pretty much do whatever they want, whenever they want. So, you know, it's easier for the guy with most leeway and most, you know, with least pressure on him, so to speak, when it comes to Nick Saban, and for him to sit up there and say, you know, I condemn it, I wouldn't have a place to stay, and I don't know if we can quit. He also makes a comment about you don't see this in basketball. You don't see this in the basketball, college basketball ranks where guys are transferring more often than not. Lately, he said it's a football trend where these top-rated guys, if they don't get what they want and they're not getting the play that they want, they will leave. As a head coach, if you're not getting the response you want from the kids, if you're not getting the results in the win-loss columns, you'll leave as well. So I don't understand that whole part. Specifically with this certain situation, it being the quarterback position and it being Nick Saban, who I don't know if you can name a quarterback that has left Alabama that we have rated high in the draft or we have thought to be an elite-style quarterback that'll take the NFL by storm. He has been able to win championships, to win SEC divisional titles year after year with a mediocre to subpar quarterback. Why a five-star or why someone would expect Nick Saban to adhere to the quote-unquote unwritten quarterback rules is something I don't understand either. We see it year after year. He plays who he wants to play at quarterback, and he still wins. When you have, you know, five stars at every position throughout your entire roster, it's easy to not, you know, have to spend as much quality time on a quarterback as other schools may have to. So, again, with this whole situation, it being a quarterback, us knowing that Nick Saban, for a lack of, you know, putting it in layman's terms, doesn't give a shit about the quarterback position. It's been evident through the years with Nick Saban and this Alabama team that they don't care who plays quarterback. They're going to win, they're going to run the ball, and they're going to play tough, hard-nosed defense for 60 minutes. It is what it is. Now you can go through and you can nitpick one or two games where a quarterback has lit up the scoreboard and has helped them win a game that is high scoring. But if you go through every year, every game, you'll see the consistency, or not the consistency, you'll see that the rule is they win predominantly with a great defense and a good run game, not by their quarterback. So it is no surprise that he sat a guy that he didn't feel comfortable with. And again, in this day and age, it's no surprise that the kid left school. So I have a big problem with him sitting at the podium and taking a high stance when you yourself have done that. But this kid, again, he's a five-star recruit. He's going to find a school. He's going to go there, and he may do well. He may not. But this may not be the last we hear of quarterbacks leaving Alabama within the next few years.
Okay, now here's the situation that I'm presented with. And Sports City, deal with me here because I might be a little uncomforting or may seem not too disgusting or too uncomforting, but I'm going to just throw this out how I feel about the situation. That's why this dude is my hurricane brother. If he is Tommy Beard, right? Now, here goes the situation that I'm presented with. We all go throughout life to try and achieve or do better or see a better future. You know what I'm saying? So looking at how Tommy threw his situation out there, I totally forgot that he had a mediocre one-season bid with the Miami Dolphins and left. I forgot all about that little stint while he was in the pros and came right back. And now he's terrorizing college football. Nobody can stop the Tide, no matter what. I mean, 1 or 2 years, okay, great. But he's been getting national championship after national championship because he wanted to better himself, better his situation. So you mean to tell me, right or wrong, he went from what? Michigan State, bettered his situation, went to LSU, finally got his national championship, left, went to Miami, did not look good in Miami, did not look good. He left because he really didn't like all of that showered attention that he was getting, being that college coach that made the jump transition to the NFL, get to the Tide and then getting monster running back after monster running back that nobody has been able to contain his running back stable. I give him credit for that. However, since 2014, something that Nacho was alluding to, there's been four quarterbacks that have left Tuscaloosa, Alabama. 4 in 2 years, that has to tell you something. That one, this is where I say it's going to get disgusting, Sports City, so vibe with me. And I'm not going to be loaded with curse words. That's not me. I only do that personally with every last person here on the panel. I talk to them outside of Sports City. They're here like that. But I'll be disgusted on how I look at this situation. You mean to tell me in the past 2 years that two quarterbacks have left each year? That's on average, even though majority of them have left already. Blake Barnett is the additional one. This is the fourth quarterback in 2 years. However, this is where I say it's going to get disgusting, is he plays favoritism. I have no problem with you liking the quarterback that your starter, and he has potential capability. I look at Blake Sims, who he had a year or two ago and was a talented quarterback. You also look at the McElroy that he had was talented, or, you know, McCarron that were talented. But guys that sit behind them, you mean to tell me that I'm playing on a Division I team and not able to get out there if we're kicking somebody's tail in the third quarter and get out there and showcase? You're going to put me out there in the fourth quarter with 6 minutes left, and you're not going to let me throw the ball. You're going to make me hand the ball up. Oh, that's great. I'm not able to showcase my talent. Now, this is where I look at this situation. You mean to tell me that this guy can't better himself? So if he goes out there on the board and that he's transferring to try and be able to start somewhere else, he's looking toward his future here, Nick. He's looking toward his future. Now, I don't feel comfortable going at Nick Saban, because Nick Saban is a great coach. I'm not taking anything away from him in his coaching ability. But to be against somebody that's trying to do well, and this is why I say it's disgusting, because you're looking at the dollar sign, being a guy like Blake Barnett. And I'm not saying that he's all money hungry, but if he has the capability to be a Division I quarterback, able to be a showcase quarterback at whatever college he could go to, he could end up going to the next level and being a quarterback. I'm not saying that he's a starter already on an NFL team, but what if a team says, look, he's better than what we have here. Why don't we give him a shot to try and have a quarterback, you know, controversy here? You mean to tell me he's going to sit back here and hold the clipboard for however long the duration is and be able to play one, maybe two seasons at best? People don't see enough of him. He goes to the combine, they're not impressed with what they have, and that's that. But he could get out there as a redshirt freshman right now with Alabama. He leaves and still be able to go out there and get at least 3 years of work somewhere else. How could you badmouth that? How could you not want to see somebody do well in their future? I don't get that. Like, this is where I'm disgusted at a guy like Nick Saban. Like, if people, please don't get it confused. Don't look at it like I'm saying that he can't coach, because he can coach. The Alabama Crimson Tide is still undefeated until they run into a tough game. But right now, his eyes are set on Hurd, the quarterback that they have right now. And hopefully he can run the table again. But until then, he's dealing with this quarterback controversy. I don't even know how many quarterbacks. And then I look at the parents in this situation. It sucks that I look at it like this, but I look at the parents and go, hey, look, is my son going to be able to play? I don't want him to sit there and be a part of the, you know, the university and be holding a clipboard, throwing up college football gang signs and holding a board up. I want to see my son play. Like, that's frustrating to not only pay all of this money to watch his son go play football and not be able to go out there and give anything to the team, but, you know, be a sportsman and cheer the guys on and be there until the quarterback gets knocked out of the game. Like, that's the unfortunate situation that these guys are pressed with. But if he feels like he has the ability to go out there and start on a 1A level, you shouldn't be bad-mouthing that. You were the first guy to win at him, and he came and chose you. You should give him credit for having the tenacity to try and go attack the nation and see what school he's going to end up at and being able to start somewhere across the board. So, you know, kudos to Barnett, wherever he ends up landing. I wish him success. It's kind of like the Driscoll situation as well. And also Nick Saban, if you can run the table with Alabama once again, I mean, it wouldn't be a bad notch under your belt that you had a little controversy within the roster and still were able to man the ship like you normally do. So that's all I really have in a nutshell toward it. I'm not going to, like, literally just start trying to throw him under the bus, because I couldn't. I can't. How much he's been able to do with the Crimson Tide. But this is a concern that four quarterbacks have come there and have turned away because they weren't given the ability to go out there and either compete or able to come in at a latter part of the game, or if they feel like they were doing better work within practice or things of that nature, and they still had their eyes on the favorite within the, you know, the depth chart.
it seems to me that Nick Saban doesn't have a problem with the kids leaving, more or less the underlying problem, which is the system and the NCAA. If I'm not mistaken, all four of these guys are mid-season transfers. They didn't stay the entirety of the year. They started a year, weren't going to get the playing time, and then left. That's the system's fault. If they had the ability to leave a school at the end of the year, go to the new school for the summer, and be able to start that following fall and play for the new team, you wouldn't see these kids leaving mid-season early on in the season, where they know that if they get the right GPA, go to the right JUCO, graduate, and do the necessary things correct, that they can next year play, like Tommy alluded to. If he waits till the end of the year, does this at the end of this season, does what Mr. Saban wants him to do, which is play the entire season and not quit on the team, he will not be eligible to play for the 2017-2018 season. So I think more or less it's a problem with the system that Nick Saban might be having than a problem with his kids leaving. I don't think these kids have a problem staying and finishing out the season with the team that's going to be the Alabama Crimson Tide, who, like I said, doesn't have a problem with you know, mixing quarterbacks throughout the entire year. So I, without this kid coming out and saying, Nick Saban told me I'm never going to play for the entire year, I don't foresee that this is a complete change, and that this guy and that the new quarterback is going to be Hurts is going to be the end-all, be-all. So to me, I think it's more or less a problem with the system that they have, where if these kids have the ability, like an NCAA coach, to where they can leave at the end of the year and immediately start for their new team, we might see these kids fulfill an entire season, figure out that the, you know, that maybe, you know, figuring out in those last few months that either the school is for them or is not for them. Again, who knows if this kid doesn't play the rest of this season, has the opportunity to think about it at the end of the season, if it doesn't change his mind, if he doesn't end up staying. But because of the system, he knows that he can't play next year unless he leaves right now and does the necessary things at JUCO to be able to play. So maybe we can start looking at fixing that instead of trying to blame these kids on having a me-centric attitude.
I don't think he'll be playing JUCO football. If you're going from Alabama and going down to JUCO, that's a whole nother situation in itself. But I do want to get away from this.
Cam Newton did. He was a highly recruit coming out of Florida. Left Florida, went JUCO, and then came back and went to Auburn. First big some players.
JUCO, you're immediately available to play in JUCO. You can't do that. You can't go to another Division I or another big school and immediately be available to play next week or in a couple of weeks. He goes to a JUCO, he is immediately available to play. And then he finishes out if he gets the proper GPA, and he graduates that JUCO and what have you, then he'll be able to start, like Tommy said, at the beginning of next season. That's why you go to a JUCO. That's why you do things like that.
Yeah, but Cam Newton compared to him is a rare case. Like, you're not going to get too many of those situations. You know what I mean? And what if he goes to JUCO and doesn't have an impressive situation? Or if he goes there and likes what he's doing down there, he's wasting time down there. If you're on a number one ranked team right now and you're leaving, I would want to stay on the board around, 1A football. Like, Cam Newton, 6'6", 250. That's hard. Like, you can leave and go anywhere. Everybody's still going to have their eyes on you. And at that given time, similar situation, Florida was winning their national championships with Tim Tebow and having a backup like Cam Newton be behind them. Now, this is a situation where, you know, Barnett is behind a quarterback that wasn't running the show last year. So I think he feels like he has the same capabilities, if not better, to go out there and do more than what Alabama's been able to do, even though Alabama's been winning. So it's like, I can't get mad at what he's trying to achieve in life. Like, that's a personal agenda on himself. And I tip my hat to him. Anything else before we get away from this, though?
Just that he didn't have no problem transferring in from Florida State. He took him right on board.
Okay. But like other than that, like it, you can, like I said, Nick Saban cannot be mad at somebody going out there, you know, trying to do something within the realms of their own lives, you know, especially watching other kids do it to his organization as well.
Saban has a problem with something when it doesn't go his way or he can't stop it. Nick Saban had a problem with this spread no huddle offense because he couldn't stop it. And he bitched, well, I don't think it's correct. I don't think it's right. You're complaining about this and just shut up. You're winning championships. You're getting 5-star recruits. Just be happy with what you got. Stop trying to change football.
Okay, I'm going to try to get away from this because we split the first portion of the show. We only got 30 minutes left, man, and I know we got a lot of stuff to jump into. The first game I wanted to talk about was the Thursday night matchup with Houston at home, dismantling the home state here, Connecticut, down there. Now, the question was posed to me, and I'm going to throw this to the panel here at Sports City. I'm going to come to you first, Tommy. Is Houston legit? Does Houston really run this table and get consideration to be placed in the playoffs? Now, right now it's early. They do have the rest of their schedule. But do we give them credit or do we have to see more from a team like Houston? Or will they, and I hate to use this term, will they be blackballed the same way that Boise State was when they had Zabransky and Kellen Moore and you know, players of that nature?
Yes, they're legit. They're a good football program. Will they get left out of the Final Four? We will find out the end of November how good they are when Louisville comes down there in Houston. They win that football game, they'll make the playoffs. I really think they will. They can't leave them out, especially if Louisville comes into that game undefeated. I mean, you can't leave them out then. This team is legit. The quarterback, Greg Ward Jr., he's legit. He literally could probably be in the Heisman race right now. I mean, for what he's done against Oklahoma, what he did. They're better when they're playing at home. Cincinnati's not as good as they are, but when they play at home, you get that crowd sits on top of you. I like Houston. I think they'll run right through the American. They may have some games that are closer than what you're sitting there thinking, wait a minute, really? But I think they run right through the conference. And win that conference, go to conference championship, win it. It all's going to come down to the end of November when they host Louisville. How good are we'll see what they really can do.
Nacho, your thoughts on the situation of Houston not only winning by 4 touchdowns up against UConn, a game which they should have taken care of business in, but do you think for the remainder of this schedule that they could run this and become potentially a playoff team? And just like Tommy said, Louisville doesn't wait them at the end of the schedule.
UConn was the last team to beat this Houston team. Over the course of the last year, so this wasn't a gimme game by any means. This is a team that, like Tommy said, in this division they will play some teams tough, and they will play some teams that you didn't see it. And we all, most of us out there, thought this would be a closer game the way UConn played them last year. So I was thoroughly impressed by what Houston put on the field on Thursday night. The overwhelming effect here is they're going to need Navy to finish with a good record, you know, with one loss, most likely two. And they're going to need Louisville to be undefeated when they go at it at the end of the year. I believe it's the second-to-last match. If they can go through an undefeated Louisville, if Memphis does it again, Memphis is 3-0 now. I don't know the Memphis' schedule off the top of my head. It's probably weak. If they can end up beating two
undefeated or an undefeated and a one-loss team at the end of the year convincingly to wrap up an undefeated season going into a conference championship, they will be in that top Final Four, especially if you beat a now number three team, which quite possibly could creep into the top two depending on the performances coming up for Louisville against Florida State. So if they go up against which could be an undefeated number two ranked team, beat them the second to last game, then go into their last game against them, maybe undefeated or one loss Memphis, thoroughly beat them like they should, that'll keep those eyes wide open, especially when they go into their conference championship and beat another team again. So, to me, I'm going to go with it. But with like every other non-Big Five, they need to go undefeated, and they need to continue with these lashings. 40-16, 64-3, 42-14, 42-4, or 42-0. The only close game is the first game of the season against number three, and they scored 33 points on Oklahoma and beat them by 10 points. So they continue to dominate the way they're dominating, beat a good Navy team, handle the rest. I think it's a Tulsa, SMU, Central Florida, and Tulane. Handle those the way that they're supposed to, and then finish the season strong against, like I said, undefeated Louisville. We're going to see them in the top four. We're going to see them make some noise. And I'm with Tommy. That kid Ward, he continues to play the way he's playing. He will creep up into that conversation. I know we'll get into the Lamar kid here soon. But Houston's on a fast track to get to the playoffs. They got two key games at the end of the year. I think that could play a very big part, because we all know it's not how you start; it's 100% how you finish in the NCAA.
Certain cases. Some teams start out slow and get knocked off and still get back in there. You are correct about the way that they finish, because they can't run the table and lose a game late. But I do have Houston's schedule in front of me, and this is the tough part about the American. The only tough game I really see is this Navy, possibly Tulsa, Louisville, and it depends on what Memphis has in the tank late in the season. If Memphis doesn't show that they're playing strong ball, I think that Houston should be able to take care of business. I could care less if they're in Tennessee or at a neutral location, or if they were scheduled to play in Texas. I really feel like Houston is playing this type of ball to get that consideration. However, it is up to the committee to give them that consideration to put them in one of the top four spots, to at least put them in one of the top four spots.
You got to remember, though. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
That October 17th game, it's a Thursday night game. Thursday night game in Houston against Louisville. I don't know what the matchup is for the NFL. I'm telling you right now, that game's going to get this game, this Houston-Louisville game at Houston, Thursday night's going to get more ratings than an NFL game. Watch. Because this is going to tell you a lot. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at Houston's schedule. I would not sleep on that Central Florida game.
UCF, they have not played strong ball this season, though, so that is interesting. But like I said, we will see how this does end up panning out as we get to there. But at least the couple of games that I do see, there's always something about Tulsa. Tulsa can end up getting into a shootout with Houston. They always play that type of game where it's a 49-45 type of game, and everybody's at home watching this game like, are you watching this game late? Like, and they'll have that type of controversy going into that situation. So I don't want to run that away from Tulsa, because Tulsa still has that capability. Say that again?
That's a rivalry game, too.
Okay. Matt, are you available yet?
100?
Yes, I am. Are you guys ready to do your picks?
Are you? Hold on. We didn't get to the picks yet. Easy. Your thoughts on Houston. Do you think they could are they the real deal? Are they going to be a team in the playoffs, yes or no?
I think the real deal. I like their defense pretty solid. The offense at times sputters, but they did what they had to do against Connecticut. I kind of wonder what the coach is doing before the game. It's almost like it's in a foreign country, but, you know, we all got our routines. It's a little bit different, but whatever works, whatever works. Houston will make the playoffs, I believe.
Okay,
Tom Hearn, I'm telling you, he's going to get a lot of looks at the end of this season. USC to go after him, and I look for LSU to go after him.
Hey, Tommy.
Okay,
sorry to interrupt. Side note, Tommy, that game you were talking about, NFL, New Orleans Saints at Carolina, is the November 17th Thursday night game. So if they get better ratings than that game, woo-wee. So, hey, but you're right, though. That Houston-Louisville game will be a highly rated game. That's going to be competitive viewing for sure.
Okay, one more with the game that took place last night with Stanford going to Washington, playing up against the Huskies. I like the mantra or the way that people were actually talking about it, how Washington returned the favor towards Stanford, because everybody knows since, you know, Coach Harbaugh was there and, you know, coaches after Harbaugh as well, they played that smash-mouth football and basically try to run the ball down teams next, and knowing that it worked well in the Pac-12, because that was my, you know, my thesis, that no team plays defense well. Washington not only played defense, but brought a hell of a game plan to knock off Stanford last night, 44-6. And I was getting advised by fellow chef here, Tommy Beard, how it was going down through the portion of the game. Now, this actually knocks, or not, I can't really just say knocks them off, but this puts a chink into the armor for the Stanford Cardinal as of this point in time. And it definitely knocks McCaffrey down, at least for this portion of time for the Heisman voting. I want to see how you guys feel about how things went down yesterday. And I'm going to throw it out and kind of add this on top of it. Mobile quarterbacks are starting to change the game. Even though it's been more or less pocket quarterback going to the next level, we are starting to see that transition where mobile quarterbacks are starting to make it work nowadays in today's game. Matt, I'll start with you first on the Washington-Stanford matchup and also on mobile quarterbacks as well.
Well, I tipped my cat to Utah. You're the only one who picked the Huskies. I lost a gold standard on that game. I'm hurting from it. It was embarrassing. I think Washington's the real deal. I think McCaffrey got shut down. McCaffrey's out of the Heisman race. The guy is maybe a third-round pick at best the way he's playing. But maybe it has something to do with how bad the other guys on Stanford are. And I think you're right about mobile quarterbacks. I think we're going to see that Jackson kid go off from Louisville. It's going to be a show. Everybody put on their seatbelts. It's going to be a wild ride tonight in Death Valley.
Well, it's not just Jackson. Look, the reason why I threw that in there is because Tommy brought out Ward down there in Houston. So you got Jackson, you got Ward, you got the kid last night, the quarterback from Washington, who was making a lot of plays on the edge, working that option, like making that defense have to come to him, and him giving that pitch and working that game as well. Like, it's starting to work now. Like, a lot of people said that mobile quarterbacks would never work. It's starting to, at least at this point in time in the college game, I'm wondering if they could transition, because you also look at Brissett, the quarterback from New England, who was actually a mobile quarterback, making it work with Belichick's system. So that's just one. I'm just saying, as time goes on, will it be mobile quarterbacks? I want to see. Tommy, your thoughts on this situation with the Huskies the Huskies at home doing a woodshed job to the Cardinals. And also, your thoughts on mobile quarterback.
I apologize to Washington, to the city of Seattle, Washington. I said I didn't know what you all got. You all got a lot. But this is what I was afraid of coming into this season. Remember, Tom, when you kept talking about Stanford, I said I don't count them, because I said they didn't have a quarter. Stanford does not have a quarterback that can stretch the field like they did last year with Hogan. The offensive line right now, by what I looked like, was awful. I'm going to get to that too. That's why McCaffrey's not really doing a whole lot. He only had, I believe, 49 yards rushing, 65 yards receiving. What I saw, and I should have picked, I should have went with Seattle, or I should have went with Washington for this reason. It was the only game being really watched. It was a Friday night, so it was nationally brought. Fans were into it. That place was loud as hell. That's another thing that helped that defense. If you watch that offensive line for Stanford had no clue when that ball was being snapped. They couldn't hear. They had the one tackle, 75. The DN was gone before he even moved because he couldn't hear nothing. Congratulations, Washington. You'll probably win the Pac-12 North. I don't know if you'll win the whole thing because that crowd had a lot to do with that game. Not taking anything away from what you did. One help, that offense is lethal when it wants to be. Defensively is good too. I'm going to see what they do again next week because they got Oregon coming in next week. That'll probably be loud again. I believe that game's in Seattle.
No, they go to Eugene. That game is in Eugene.
See, I want to see what that defense can do then. Is it going to be as good? But right now, by what I've seen, they're legit.
Okay. Nacho, your thoughts on this, and then we'll get into the picks as well.
You know, this is something where I'm kind of torn. We see a Stanford offensive line give up 4 sacks over the course of 3 games, give up 8 sacks last night in the course of 1 game. Again, I don't know if it has anything to do with the crowd, like Tommy said, that has a great deal to do with it, but maybe the offensive line's problems with the whole game itself. They got totally dominated on both sides of the ball, and Christian McCaffrey again continues his streak of not scoring on an opposing field offensively. And Washington did everything they could to stop this team from scoring until late in that game. So, to me, the reason I'm torn is immediately after the game, you have an entire team discussing the fact that they were waiting all year for this game. They had this game circled. They couldn't do nothing but concentrate on this game. You got the head coach saying you don't win any trophies by winning a game on Friday night in September. But does the head coach really have control of this team? We'll see when they go to Eugene. I have a sneaky feeling that Eugene and those Oregon Ducks, we may see some very, very resembling of a couple years ago, 40, 50, maybe even 60-point range. I think this Washington team had everything in the pot, in the bag, for this one game against Stanford, who throttled them last year. In this Pac-12, I know I'm skipping a week, but I'm looking forward to next week in Washington and Oregon because I have a sneaky feeling we may see the reverse effect of the scoreboard when it comes to Washington next week. But as for this week, they put all their eggs in their basket and they took on Stanford and shut them down in all facets of the game.
First of all, before we do that,
Oregon better show up.
Oregon will not show up. That's what I was going to say. I think that Washington take care of the business up against Oregon. Oregon is not themselves from what we are used to seeing. They are giving up games, and the jury's still out on the Pac-12 if anybody plays defense except Washington. Washington held Stanford to 6 points, and that was a given. Like, that was a given, that 6 points. Like, do we charge that to their defense because McCaffrey had the return? Wow. I must say, wow, McCaffrey, I feel bad for you because I know you were doing everything in your power to remain in that Heisman running. I think everybody else is going to have one of those faulty games to put, catapult you back into the conversation. But with Washington showing up big, this may hurt you. This may hurt you. Okay, so I do want to get into the picks because we only got 15 minutes left before the end of the show. I would say something about the game. All I'm going to say about the game is Timeless was the only one to pick the Huskies. Timeless is tied with Tommy Beard right now. I'm neck and neck with my Hurricane brother. I told you I need to catch up. Okay, Matt, let's get into it. The pick for week 5.
All right, guys. Basically, we're going to try to just bust out these 12 noons real quick. I do want a score. If you can give me the exact score, just guess your score. And for Nacho, since he missed last week, all his picks are worth a double, and then he gets two triples. The first game is Notre Dame and Syracuse. The spread I have is Notre Dame by 12.5. I'm going to go with Syracuse plus 12.5, and we will start with Nacho since he missed last week. You got Notre Dame or Syracuse, Nacho?
I'll take Notre Dame.
All right, Tommy?
I've already said, I said on Wednesday show, give me Notre Dame to make that double.
Oh, yeah, Notre Dame double for Tommy. Ty, what you got?
That's right. He did see that. And then you said the line is 12.5?
Yep.
And Notre Dame is favored?
Yep.
Yes.
In East Rutherford, New Jersey.
I'm going with Notre Dame, too.
All right, so we got three, you're good. Three Notre Dame and one Syracuse. I'll probably lose, as I always do. Okay, Georgia Tech and Miami. We're driving right in the thick of it right now. We got Miami by 8.5. We'll go with Nacho to start first on this one. So if you like Miami by 8.5 or Georgia Tech.
I'll take Georgia Tech at home.
I'm going to ride Nacho, make it quick and simple. I think the Rambling Wreck keep it within the number, but I'm pretty sure Miami will win the game, but I'll take Georgia Tech plus the 8.5. Should I put both of you Miami boys down for Miami? Tommy, you going to go with Miami?
I'm nervous because we have freshman linebackers. It's really never seen this offense. But we've had 2 weeks to get ready for it. You know, give me the C-A-N-E-S. Canes?
All right. Ty, you going to go with Tommy?
His mother played a role in a movie called Friday, and Ice Cube told her, bye, Felicia.
All right. So you're going with Miami? I'm sorry.
Bye, Felicia. Bye, Felicia. You already know. Bye, Felicia.
All right, I already know. All right, I hate to even mention this game, but I think we just need to throw in an SEC game because there's what they're lacking this weekend. There's only one other good one. Florida minus the 12 against Vandy. I'm pretty sure we're all going to go Gators. If anybody wants Vanderbilt, just speak up. Otherwise, I'll just write Florida for everybody. Florida minus 12 is the line.
Yep, I see it. Florida.
All right, we got Florida across the board. No one spoke up. Okay, we're going to go to the Big Ten. We got Iowa and Northwestern. They're favoring the Iowa Hop Daddies by 11 points. Let's start with Ty. What do you like in that one, Ty?
I got picked on last year for talking junk about Iowa when they ran the table, and then they looked bad when they started getting into the conference championship. Iowa at home, I think they steamrolled Northwestern. I think this is big. They might win by 3 touchdowns. Make this my double.
All right, Iowa minus 11, a double for Ty. We'll go right to Tommy.
Give me the Hawkeyes.
All right, Hawkeyes for Tommy. What about you, Nacho?
I'll take the Hawkeyes.
Well, as Chris Berman says, they're all on the Hawkeyes. Give me the Northwestern Wildcats plus the 11. I know they're dog meat, but maybe somehow they'll get a backdoor cover late. Okay, moving to the ACC, you guys are familiar with these teams, Duke and Virginia. Right now we got Duke listed as a 3.5 home point favorite. We'll start with Tommy on this one. You got the Duke Blue Devils or you got Virginia?
Give me the Devils. Virginia's
Devils
awful.
Devils minus 3.5 at home. We'll come right back to Nacho. What do you like in that one, Nacho?
I'll take Duke at home.
All right. I'm gonna ride Virginia plus 3.5. Ty, are you gonna go with the grain, or are you gonna go with my lowly pick?
I want to, but looking at how Virginia has responded all season long, the only thing working for them is their passing game. I'm going with Duke with ball control. I think they'll run the ball and get them out of there. Duke. I'll go with Duke.
I will say this. My girlfriend, she's sitting beside me listening. She wants me to change my pick to Duke, so we're going to make it a consensus. I'm going with Duke minus the 3.5. She's a smart lady, Yana. All right. I'm not even and Ty knows that I'm actually being serious because I'm getting her into the games. But we've got to roll here, guys. West Virginia, Kansas State. West Virginia is only a 3-point favorite against Kansas State. I smell a rat. I'm going with Kansas State plus the 3. Let's go right back to Nacho. What do you like in that one?
I'll take Kansas State in 3.
Kansas State in 3. Ty, what you think?
I'm going with West Virginia. West Virginia at home covers.
All right, Tommy?
Give me the Mountaineers.
All right, we're split on that one. I like to see that. Okay, the next game, let me make sure I cover all the 12 noons. We got Oklahoma State and Texas, a sneaky game that no one's talking about. Right now, Oklahoma State's a 1-point favorite. Give me the Horns, Texas Longhorns. We'll start with Ty second.
Texas or Oklahoma State, Jesus Christ. That's a tough one. Do I go with the Cowboys, man? Jesus, give me the Hook and Horns. I'm going with Texas, man. I got you. I want to go with
Cowboys.
All right,
Ty's going with Texas. Let's go back to Nacho. What do you think? You think Texas in that one?
I'll take Texas.
You got a Tommy, consensus, or are you going to go against the grain? Texas or Oklahoma State?
I so badly want to go with the Cowboys. So badly. But
me too.
They're all on Texas, Tommy. What do you do?
See, if I take this one and win it, I can jump out. Because me and Ty's tied on everything. You know what? I'm going to play smart. I'm taking Texas.
So we got a consensus pick on Texas. Okay, now I want everyone simultaneously, at the same time, take a deep breath because we just got through the 12 new games. Everybody breathe with me. Okay, so now we can kind of chill. We can go a little bit over time. I know some people got to get to the windows, but now we can kind of relax. Now we can cover the meat and potatoes. So let's go to Michigan and Wisconsin. We got the Wolverines, a 10-point home chalk, a 3:30 game now. We're at home, 10 over the Badgers. Let's go right back to Tommy. Tommy, you're going to be first in the Michigan Wisconsin game. What do you think?
Me and Ty just talked about this morning. I had no clue. I'm torn because I really don't know who Wisconsin is. Give me Michigan.
Michigan minus the 10 for Tommy. Let's go to Ty.
Oh, man. And I was going to do that, man. You know what? I already said it. On September 21st, I got to stick with them right now. Give me Big Blue. I'm going with Michigan.
All right. I'm going to go against y'all. I'm taking the Badgers. I'm going to make it my double. Until the Badgers are knocked off, I just believe in that team for some reason, especially getting double digits. Nacho, what do you think?
Going Wisconsin, making my triple.
All right. Triple. So we're split. I like that. We got some splits going on. I like that. Okay, we got to stick in the ACC for the ACC fans here. So Florida State, North Carolina did make the board. They got Florida State favored by 10.5. Let's start with, let's come right back to Nacho. What do you think about Florida State by 10.5 against North Carolina? It's in Tallahassee.
I'm going to take Florida State and Tallahassee. I'll take them at home.
FSU minus 10.5 for Nacho. We'll go back to Tommy. What do you think about that one, Tommy?
Give me the Tar Heels. That's upset pick. I'm going Tar Heels. I don't trust this criminal's defense. They run that spread. I'm going Tar Heels.
I'm going to ride Tommy. It's kind of a hard pick because North Carolina, I always root for them, but I think that maybe they can keep it close. It'll be a shootout type game. Ty, what do you see in this Florida State, North Carolina?
The separation game right here. Yes, I don't like them. They're a rival. But I can't lie, even though they're a rival, I am a Dalvin Cook fan. This dude is a home run hitter. I think North Carolina is in trouble, and the reason being, the rivalry is next week. Florida State cannot go into that game with a loss. They cannot go into that game with a loss. Give me the Seminoles.
All right, we got a split decision on that. And now we got a big game in the state I'm in, about 45 minutes or down in Athens, Georgia. Right now, Vegas is jacking up Tennessee all the way to 4 points. I saw a little bit 2.5 earlier in the week, but Vegas thinks the Vols get it done on the road in Athens. Let's come right back to you, Ty. What do you think about this Georgia-Tennessee? And like we now have a little bit of time, so you can dissect it a little bit more if you want. If you want to, if there's anything you want to add about this Georgia-Tennessee game, what do you think about it?
I was disrespectful at the earlier portion of the season with Tennessee. Right now, I feel like they clicked and started to get it going. As much as I don't want to really give Butch Jones credit, he is actually getting these boys to play good ball. I'm going with Tennessee, especially with Nick Chubb out and the way that they got battered and made me look bad up against Ole Miss. I feel like it's going to be very hard for me to go with Georgia again. I'm going with Tennessee.
All right, one for the Vols. Nacho, what do you think about this Southeastern Conference matchup?
You know, this is interesting. I'm with Ty on the fact that I did poke fun at the Vols at the beginning of the year. They've been doing good at home. This is their first road game of the year. I think Georgia handles business, takes care of what they need to take care of, it comes away with the victory. But I am definitely impressed with what the Volunteers are able to do so far. I think they will continue their dominance at home. I think the road is where we'll see some chinks in the armor, so to speak. But I'm going with Georgia Bulldogs today.
Very interesting analysis. Tommy, do you agree with Ty or Nacho in the Tennessee-Georgia game?
This is a hard pick. Chubb
yes,
is out. But Tennessee is coming off of an emotional win against Florida.
Very true.
Tennessee won in Athens, Georgia for a while. They have trouble playing there. I'm not impressed with Georgia. They don't have their offense with them, Chubb. Houston's struggling right now. Give me Tennessee.
I'm going to have to ride the Rocky Top and the Volunteers of America, and that's going to be my other double, Tennessee minus the 4. And here's why, guys. Freshman quarterback play for the Dogs, and exactly what Tommy said, no Chubb for Georgia is a huge loss to me, and I think Georgia is just not ready with Kirby Smart. It's not his players. And believe it or not, I know that was an emotional win, but I think Tennessee rallies the momentum and gets the cover today in Athens. Okay, I'm going to add a few more games in, but let's go ahead and cover the biggest game of the day. And please, everyone, take a minute or two to talk about this one. Louisville and Clemson. We have, just to double check, I'm pretty sure Louisville is the favorite in that one. Let me make sure that they didn't change anything. Let's see.
I've got 1.5, Louisville.
Exactly right, Tommy. So we'll start with you. Go ahead, and like I said, we got time now on this one. Louisville is a 1.5-point favorite on the road in Death Valley and Clemson. What you got in that one?
I'm torn on this one. Really am. Oh, man. I mean, this is going to be a very high-scoring game. I can see it going 42-35, 44-39, either way. I really do. Or I get everybody building up this and it being a defensive game. I'm going – earlier I was all on Louisville. It's in Death Valley. It's in Clemson, South Carolina. I look forward. The same thing happened last night. The crowd – it make it loud. Clemson's defense may be getting tired of hearing about the whole how good Lamar Jackson is and this and that. I think they'll show up, and I think Clemson will pull out a big one.
All right, so we got Clemson for Tommy. Let's go with Ty. Secondly, Ty, what do you think about this Jackson kid? You really think he's going to go into Death Valley and show us all those Tiger fans? What?
We get two doubles or one?
You get two doubles, and Nacho gets triples because he's catching up.
You know what? He just beat the crap out of Florida State. Upset in Death Valley. Give me the Cardinals. Double.
Louisville is actually the favorite, but if you think about it, that is kind of an upset philosophy because, you know, that's the public's possibly on Clemson. Nacho, what do you think about this Jackson kid? Is he going to run all over the Clemson Tigers?
I think, yeah. I mean, there's the evidence is that he will. If he doesn't run all over him, he'll throw all over him. And he might do both. But to me, I think this is an offensive showing from both sides. I'm taking Deshaun Watson at home, Death Valley. You know, that there will be no, you know, remnant of, you know, Louisville running around with the fingers over their mouths, quieting the crowd, a la Cam Newton. I think this is definitely going to be a great game, start to finish. I'll make this my triple as well, and I'm going Clemson, Death Valley at home.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, so you're going with Clemson on it?
Yes.
Oh, wow, okay. Well, man.
He put a triple on it, too. He put a triple on it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's his. Yeah,
I'm getting nervous. Nacho agreeing with me don't work very well.
Well, I'm going to – guys, I think there's just too much motivation for Clemson. They have some bulletin board material. They're getting disrespected maybe by the odds makers at home. I already talked about their defensive coordinator. You know, I think he knows how to game plan for specifically running quarterbacks. I am going for the minor upset in Clemson plus the 1.5. I already used my double, so I can't use one. Let's see, Nacho used his. We still need to get another one. Let's see, Ty, have you? Let me see. Ty used one on Notre Dame. No, that's Tommy.
I used it on Iowa in this
that's
game.
That's right. I marked it. All right. And then, you used Notre Dame too?
No, I didn't use Notre Dame. Just Iowa in this one. I picked.
Okay, all right. Tommy, you seem to have a good handle. Is there any games that we can add in? And then I think we got to get Ty a double. And I don't know if you did your other double.
No, I need one more.
Okay, well, if there's any games you want to throw in.
Oklahoma at TCU.
That is a good one. I missed that one.
They got Oklahoma by what I'm seeing, 3.5.
You said 3.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Oklahoma.
Okay, Oklahoma at TCU, that's a great game.
I'm going upset pick, even though Vegas or whoever did this line. Give me Oklahoma going into Fort Worth and knocking off TCU and make that my other double.
All right, we'll go right to Nacho in this. Are you drinking the Boomer Sooner, the big game Bob Stoops approach, or do you think the Horned Frogs can be pesky and get a home dog upset?
I'll go with the Oklahoma Sooners. I'll go with Stoops. I just haven't seen an extraordinary amount of wow from this TCU team. I'm going Oklahoma.
I'm going to ride with – I really don't like them, but I think the line's out of whack. I'm going to ride with big game Bob Stoops, I guess. So he's really – he's let down the gold standard quite a bit, but I'll take a minus a 3.5. Ty, do we have a consensus pack, or are they all on Oklahoma and you want to go against the grain?
Trailer, I'm going with Trill. If you don't know who Trill is, you better figure it out. I'm going with Trill. You don't know who Trill is? It's Kenny the Trill Hill, the former quarterback from A&M. I'm going with TCU.
TCU plus 3.5. Tommy, what other games can we throw about two more on, and then we should be good. Hopefully, everybody can get their doubles in or the triple or whatever. What about Utah, California? Do you have a line on that one, Tommy? I'm looking at 2.5. I don't know if it's changed.
That's what I'm seeing.
Okay, let's just stick with 2.5.
Actually, what I'm looking at, it's even.
That's fine. Cal, a pick in Utah. We'll go right to Nacho because he's out. He's kind of more out than that part of the area in the country. Nacho, what this is an interesting matchup here. You got You got Cal and Hickam at home now against Utah. What do you think?
Nacho still there.
Sorry about
Nacho,
that.
Nacho, did we lose you? Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, no, I'm here. You know, I'm going to go with Utah on the road. I think they're, like you said, pick 'em game. I'm just going to go with the team that I think is going to, you know, be there at the end, and I'm going to go with Utah. It's tough, but I'm going Utah on the road.
All right. Ty, we'll come right back to you on this one. What do you think?
Give me Cal. I want the Bears at home. I feel comfortable with the Golden Bears at home.
I'm going to stick with the Utah Utes. I just think they play a little bit rougher football. They're going to probably bang them around. Tommy, what you got?
Oh, man, this is tough. Because Cal's got an offense that can score. Utah's not bad. Give me Utah.
All right, we got three to – everyone's on Utah but Ty. We will see what happens in that one. I'm looking over the games, guys. I'll tell you what, we got to do this one just because it was an upset last year. Memphis and Old Mississippi, they got Old Mississippi by 14.5. I'll take the points all day in that one, fellas. Give me Memphis plus the 14.5. I think they can light up the scoreboard and score with Old Miss. Ty, what do you think?
Give me the Rebels. I think they woken up. I'm going with Kelly and those boys.
All right. Tommy, what you got?
Give me Ole Miss, and Notre Dame's up 7-0 already.
I can't change my pick, can I? All right, Nacho, what you got in the Ole Miss-Memphis?
Memphis on the road, upset.
I think you might be onto something for real. Let's see if there's anything else worth mentioning. I guess we should do this one. Oregon and Washington State, very, very strange line considering the history. Oregon is only 1.5 points at Washington State. Let's go to the guy that's in Pac-12 country. Nacho, what do you think about Oregon 1.5 on the road in Washington State?
Not far of a travel. You know, like you said, I'm going to take Oregon on the road. I'm just not thoroughly impressed with what Washington State has been able to put out there. Just hasn't been very impressive at all. Again, another team that Ty would love to thrash on with not playing defense in the Pac-12. But I'm going to take Oregon on the road.
All right, one for Oregon. Let's go to Tommy. What do you think? You buying this short line Vegas is giving Oregon? It looks like easy money.
Well, I could really see the Cougars winning this. I really could. I mean, Oregon don't play defense. They have no defense at all. They haven't played defense in a while. Offense is suspect. Where'd you say this was being played at? Is it in Washington State?
They call it Pullman. I don't know if that's the name of it, but it's in Washington State.
You know what? I'll go ahead and play smart. I'll take Oregon, but I wouldn't be shocked if they lost. If they won, I should say. If Washington State won. Give me Oregon.
Ty, are you going to go with everybody and take the Ducks, or do you think that Washington State Cougars have any chance in this one?
I need separation. Give me the Cougars at home. That state of Washington is still rocking. That 1 point is too shaky. It's too shaky. It's too easy to go Oregon. Washington State, Vegas, you are up to something. I smell you.
I'm going to ride Ty. I'm going to make it a split decision. I smell something just like you, Ty. Something smells in this one. I know the Cougars have had some guys in trouble with the law, but I think they got everybody back now, finally. And I know that Coach Leach, he's basically like a real leech. He'll suck your blood out. But I think the Cougars find a way somehow to pull it off. Let me see. Let me just double check if everybody's got a double. And also, Tommy, check if there's any other games we should add. We got 15, which is a pretty solid number, fellas. Ty, did I get two doubles from you?
Yes, you did. I got Iowa and I got Louisville.
That's right.
And
that's
right now,
right.
Iowa's losing.
7-0. I see the score. I see it.
What's Iowa's up 7-0
No, Northwestern's up 7-0
Ooh. Well, I'm looking bad on Syracuse, so I won't tout my high horse. But well, unless Tommy or Nacho or Ty has any other games, I think we did pretty good, gentlemen. I don't see anything else that really is, you know, worth getting your heart rate up over. Of course, we got all the NFL games tomorrow, which is going to be very exciting. Does anybody else have a game they want to throw in, or we could go ahead and do plugs and closeouts if that's cool with the main man, Tyrone?
USC, 9-point favorite at home against ASU.
Absolutely. I forgot about them, and I apologize, Nacho. We'll let you start it out. So USC by 9.5 against Arizona State.
All going with the road team, ASU for the fork. Let's go, baby.
The Sun Devils, I love it. I'm going to ride, and I'll ride off the rip. I'll ride Nacho on that. I have had family in Phoenix for years. I normally always root for the Sun Devils. They pulled a gutsy cover last week when they returned an onside kick against Cal. I think they ride the momentum. I think they might give USC all they can handle, despite years past when USC dominated when they had Pete Carroll. I think it might be a role reversal here, and I'm going with the Sun Devils. Tommy, what do you think about that matchup?
Let Ty go first, because Ty's going to go the opposite of me. I know how he is. That's what he's doing. He's going opposite of me.
He's not fair. All right, I'm going with your brother Trojans. Give me LA, big city of dreams. I think them coming off of these wake-up games, I think they wake up and get it started up against ASU.
All right, so you got USC. Tommy, since you know Ty's pick now, which way are you going to go?
Damn it, Ty. Give me the Trojans.
We got a split decision. I will throw in another game because they got a new guy coaching them now, and I want to see what you guys think about the response in this one. We got LSU listed as a 12.5-point favorite against the Missouri Tigers. I think, honestly, this Les Miles situation is detrimental. I think half the team is with him and the other half is without him. So I think he might have some guys shut it down. So I look for Missouri to cover that 12.5 today. Let's go to Tommy second here. What do you think? You're the one who called Les Miles. I got to give you all the credit in the world, so you should have a handle on this game. What do you think about LSU and Missouri?
I think the team quits. They have nothing really else. I mean, they can still possibly win the conference, I guess, if they win the rest out. Missouri's a tricky team. I've seen them play against West Virginia. They didn't look well. Then they come out, and of course, it was Georgia. Put up points. Give me Missouri.
All right, so two for Missouri. Let's go right to Ty. Ty, are you going to ride us, or you think LSU's got some motivation to whip butt today?
This is tough because Leonard Fournette is out. Well, they're saying he's very doubtful, so I don't even want to play with it. I'm going to go with the Tigers anyway out there, LSU. Not Missouri's. I'm going with LSU's Tigers. I'm going with LSU. Despite the loss of Les, I think that they get it together. And that defense plays stout up against that passing offense that Missouri's going to try and display. I'm going with LSU, though.
All right, Nacho, are you going to stick with me and Tommy, or are you going to ride Ty on that? You can go with LSU on that one.
I think I'll go a little in depth here. I think it's 7-7, starting off early. Something bad happens, fumble, interception. It turns 14-7 really quick, 21-7 even quicker, and then Missouri runs away with it. A very big loss for LSU. They give up about the second quarter midway through. I think that you took a lot of these kids' hearts when you kicked Les Miles out the door, midway through the day last week. So I'm feeling that these kids are going to give up. I think they start off giving it all they can. A mistake happens early, and then the snowball effect, and then it just turns into a slaughter. I'm taking Missouri big.
Wow, very interesting analysis. I like it. if anyone has any game, now is the time. Otherwise, I'm very satisfied with how many games we got, guys.
I think we should be all set. Unless somebody sees something else, I think we're good. And we could actually, you know, reassess a lot of this tomorrow on the brunch if somebody has a game they'd like to talk about. Unless somebody does have something to talk about.
Let me just double check with Nacho because he missed last week. Nacho, your triples are, let's see, can you remind me of them? I wrote them, but my handwriting is really a piece of shit. So you got Wisconsin is one of them, right?
Wisconsin and Clemson.
That's right. Okay. I'll write those in. And Ty, your doubles are, you got Iowa, the Hawk Daddies, right?
Iowa and Louisville.
Iowa and Louisville for Ty. And then, Tommy, we got you for Notre Dame and Oklahoma.
Right.
And then, Lowly Matthew, me, Matthew Sherwood, I got those Tennessee Volunteers and those Ratchet Badgers. All right, guys. Well, I enjoyed the show. Sorry I had a little technical difficulties earlier. I was trying to scramble and get my electronic devices to work. You know, they say they have smartphones and dumb people, but, you know, I think it's reversed sometimes. But I enjoyed talking to y'all. I look forward to NFL tomorrow. You know, let's get going. Let's try to get a little bit earlier than 11 if we can. And good luck on your picks. And if you got a team you root for, I hope they win.
Okay, Nacho, plug, closeout, shout-out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down here at the tailgate.
You know, at Nacho
wow.
in the Box. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Great show. Great to, you know, talk a little college ball with you guys. You know, man, there's going to be some great games today. There's a lot on the slate. I think we'll have some amazing finishes and some astonishing victories. You know, the wow factor turned to 11 today. We usually see these, you know, late October, early November games where they end in spectacular fashion, you know, but, you know, I think we're going to have some, you know, jaw-dropping moments come the end of the night. It's going to be, man, a lot of teams are going to be out of this playoff race. We're going to see some unknown teams, I think, with their heads peeking in, hoping to get a chance. So come Monday, I'm sure we're going to have a lot to talk about in the playoff race who they've placed where, especially with all the undefeateds playing each other this weekend. So super excited. Can't wait for this college day to continue to go and ready to hit this barbecue and get my day started. It only being 9:17 out here on the West Coast, so Southwest, so it's pretty nice.
Tommy, you already know what to do right now. Shut it down.
Yeah, good show. I'm going to make it short and sweet. Way to go. Can't wait to get in tomorrow. Let's go, Canes. Time to kick those Yellow Jacket ass.
Yeah, they're driving. I'm actually trying to, you know, keep my head on a swivel right now. Joe Yearby on the move for the first down. I'm feeling some type of way. Matt, you know I'll be talking to you all throughout the day through the course of this game. I went against the Bears today a lot for City, so if I'm right, I'm ahead by a margin. If I'm wrong, they're ahead by a margin. I just got to watch myself. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog. The chef will be back here tomorrow, Sunday morning, brunching it up. I just tied Tommy last night. Thank you, Washington. Me and my brother are neck and neck. And, oh, yes, Matt is still
Yearby.
And I'm running
oh,
my
don't
mouth
looking
at
me the... like that.
I just missed the damn touchdown. On that note, California State said it to the Jets again. Even if they don't know, now they know.
What about I'll be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'll be.